Well, I got to hear these kids answering some questions a little while ago as they were practicing and sort of having a little bit of a Christmas get together back there. Miss Ferguson was asking them questions, and it was like this: which would you rather get for Christmas, socks or a dictionary? I was coming through the room and I just had to stop, and I thought, who made these questions up? And so I said, they saw that I stopped. I walked back to say something to Ms. Ball, and when I walked back that way, they said, "Preacher, which would you rather have, socks or dictionary?" I said, "I want a bicycle." And two of them at the same time said, "I can't see you riding a bicycle." I said, "Well, thank you very much. I need to straighten something out from this morning, because I had two men. One man told me he was going to have to go back in therapy this week. And Brother Naylor said, "Preacher, I sat there and I pictured you without your shirt on at a football game." And I said, "You dirty old man." I said, "I never one time said that in the message this morning for you to picture me that way." I said, "You see these guys in the stadium doing that. I didn't say anything about..." He said, "I just got it in my head and I don't know how long it'll take to get out." I said, "Well, take about 8 Tylenol PMs or something and get that picture out of your head." But, well, it's Christmas week. I got my... How many of you have opened a Christmas present already? I did. First Christmas present of the season. Guess what it was? You'll never guess. Socks. No, a dictionary. Chocolate covered potato chips. Woo. That qualifies me to be in that stadium again, doesn't it? Trying to keep me in there. But man, were they good. Brother Crane, he has some of the most interesting things in his office. And I go up occasionally and get to see some of those. And I'm not a brilliant guy. I have to ask him, what does this do? What is this for? And he explains them to me. And he has a thermometer up there, a Galileo thermometer. Maybe you've seen them. It's blown glass and it has little balls that float in there. And they float different things. And it tells you the temperature and the humidity. And I hope it has my horoscope in there. I don't know. I'll have to figure it out. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But we're appreciative of that. All the things. This week's going to be a very special week. I pray that every one of you have a wonderful Christmas and that God would help us to see the value, the real value of what Christmas is. And we're experiencing that in our lives. And we've told our kids, you don't have to get us a thing. It's just the fact that we're together under one roof. And John was supposed to be here 4:30 on Monday afternoon, and he texted and said, "My plane's delayed." And I thought, "Oh, no." And then it got to be 5:05, and he texted and said, "My plane's delayed." I thought, "Uh-oh." And then he texted again and said, "They just canceled my flight." And then he came back and said, "They put me on another flight. It doesn't leave till 7:30. Then the next message came and said, "They delayed my plane." So we started thinking about driving to New York to pick him up, but God's brought him safely home, and boy, it's a thrill just to be together. I want us tonight, Hebrews chapter 5. We have been studying, looking at, thinking about on Sunday evenings, calm in the chaos. And when we started, you probably thought, well, he's talking about the chaos of Christmas season. And yes, there is some hint of those things along the way. But the reality is this: life, if we allow it to be, can be chaotic. And it can be very chaotic at times. In fact, over the next few days, the world will really get chaotic as people begin to realize. And I've heard it on the radio as they're counting down the number of days. And they said today, I was listening to a fellow on the way home today, and he said, 6 days till Christmas Day. Now, some people, that's going to hit them really hard. What really hit me hard was these people that start counting down at 6 months. And I think, would you please stop doing that? That's aggravating me. And then I woke up and we had 2 weeks left before it's here. And but we're not just in a season of chaos. We're in a life of chaos. Now let me introduce this as being this way. I told you bits and pieces of this story. A few years ago, we had moved from the house here out to Mechanicsville, Hanover. And I was back here doing some work. We had the house up for sale at the time. It was a Saturday evening. I was trying to finish a couple things up. There was a showing coming, and we were cleaning up a little bit, this, that, and the other. And I'm not the most brilliant person in the world. I'll just be honest with you on that. And I don't have one of those things that you wrap around you that you put all your tools in. So I was doing some work, and I needed two different tools. So I had one in my hand and the other one in my mouth. The one in my mouth was a screwdriver. Now, you know how most screwdrivers, you know, they had the handle part on. There's a little round circle on the top of that thing, like a little head on there. I had that thing in here like this. And I was working. I was making good progress. And all of a sudden, I leaned over to get something. I'm telling you my stupidity tonight. I leaned over to get something. Now, this was a long screwdriver, and I hit the floor with the end of the screwdriver. And boom, it went in my mouth. And I thought, wow, that was dumb. I'll never tell anybody that. And I opened my mouth to take the screwdriver out, and my front tooth fell out. And I saw it on the floor. I picked it up, and I went in the bathroom. I cut the light on, and I looked in the mirror. And I had this big old black spot in the front of my mouth. And it's Saturday night at 7 o'clock. I have revamped my life. I don't do work on Saturdays now. But I thought, So I finished up what I needed to do. There's no real pain just yet. And started home, and I called Sonia. And I said, do we have any super glue at home? And she said, yes, why? I said, I'll tell you when I get there. So I took it and I shoved it back in my mouth. Well, we always want to hide our sins. I shoved it back in my mouth and I walked in and she said, what's wrong? I said, oh, nothing terrible, but, and I flipped it out with my tongue and here's this, and she went, what are you going to do about tomorrow? I said, that's what the super glue's for. And so I dabbled the super glue on it and put it in there. It stayed for a while. And the next morning I got up for Sunday school and I loaded it with super glue. I shoved it back up in there. It held on till about halfway through Sunday school. And then I felt it going click, 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 moving around. And I thought, now I know what's going to happen. It's got about 2 minutes left. And when it falls out, it's not going to be a pretty scene. So I might as well fess up. So in the middle of my Sunday school lesson, I had to stop and I said, folks, something's about to happen in here. Y'all hurt me, you laughing like that. I said, something's about to happen. It might as well go ahead and happen. I might as well tell you. I broke my front tooth and I glued it in, but it's getting ready to come out. So it might as well come one out. I just reached up and pulled it out. And all across the room, I saw people go, and I saw some go like this and start laughing at me. So I went to the doctor on Monday. By then, I'm starting to get a little pain. By now, it's starting to hurt. And my doctor's a Christian, and my dentist is a Christian, and he talks to me a lot about church things. I went in, and I got to telling his high whatever that is. The person that comes in first. He gets the credit. She gets the work. And she came in. She said, well, how'd you get through yesterday? And I said, I super glued it. And she said, you're kidding me. I said, yeah. She said, what did you use? I said, super glue. She said, where'd you get it? I said, Walmart, somewhere, Tractor Supply, auto store. I don't know where it came from. It's super glue. She said, where'd you get that idea? I said, I saw it on TV and I read where they were sewing people up instead of stitches. They were using super glue. She said, Pastor Sumter, it's not the same super glue. You kill yourself. Well, long story short, by then, it was ouching. And I mean, I hurt on the heel of my foot by now. And my dentist told me, you have to have a root canal. Joy. Great joy. And as I do with most everything, I said, how much is that? I was thinking super glue versus root canal. And so, you know, he runs all the figures and all that kind of jazz. And then they start this root canal. Let me tell you something. There's nothing fun about a root canal. There is no joy in a root canal. However, for the 24 hours before he looked at that tooth, every part of me hurt. I could raise my eyebrows and hurt. I could wiggle my one big toe. Different story. And it would hurt. And he said, you have to have a root canal because infection's going to get up in there. And let me tell you something. Here's what I did. I didn't enjoy it. I endured it. But when he was finished, now let's bring this into Hebrews. When he was finished, when it was over, and he had used whatever glue he has, and he put the thing back in, and it was all sealed up, what I had endured, the pain, and then him in there with that garage full of tools, drilling and banging and smoking up the place and all of that kind of stuff, I had to endure all that. When I got out, you know, you come out and you're still numb and all that kind of thing, and that takes a while to wear off. But by nightfall, all of that was gone. You know, I thought, that wasn't too bad. But there was something that I had to endure to get to the place where all was well, till everything had been fixed. And a lot of times in our lives, we have to endure things that are not comfortable in order to get to the place of having and finding that joy. And tonight I want us to look at for just a little while enjoying life and not just enduring life. Hebrews chapter 5, if you would, join me there. We're really dividing it into two parts. The first is verse 1 through 6, and that's to communicate to us a wonderful depth and breadth of Christ the High Priest. And then the second part is verse 7 through verse number 14 tells us in what ways that Christ the High Priest sets our example. So part 2, when we come to that, is the application of what we've learned in part 1. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, don't have to turn over there. You'll recognize the verse. Write the verse down if you want to verify it. Make sure that I'm reading to you right. But Hebrews 12, 2. Remember, we've been there several weeks. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. Now, the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus, I believe, he endured. Now, there's a lot of things. He endured the crucifixion. There was no joy in being crucified. There was no joy in being beaten. There was no joy in being mocked or spit upon. No joy in any of those things. There was no joy for him in life as people ridiculed and rejected him. When people pointed at him when he walked down the street and said, oh, yeah, that's the son of Joseph and Mary. We know what the story was with that. There's no joy in that. You see, when he left heaven, he took upon himself that human flesh. We talked about that. But the author of Hebrews tells us, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and is now set down at the right hand of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 and 4, it says this, for consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest we be wearied and faint in our, and you should remember this, we faint in our what? Mind. In our mind. Not our heart, but our mind. Verse 4 says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. All through Christ's life, we see that he had joy. Not as much joy in the circumstances and the surroundings of life, but joy in looking what he was going to be able to accomplish. Now join me in Hebrews chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 1. Righteousness, for he is a baby. It ought to be our goal. See, Jesus was a pattern for us. We mentioned it this morning. Luke chapter 2, in the first part of the chapter, is all the Christmas story. The baby and the manger. But remember where we hit our attack this morning was Luke 2, in verse 49, because Jesus had grown. He is now 12 years old. His parents are leaving from the temple and he stays behind. There is growth. His pattern for us is to learn obedience through suffering, and his pattern for us is to always be growing, always be maturing. A lot of us, and I say us, a lot of us lose our spiritual joy and lose our spiritual excitement Because we come to a place that we quit growing. Why is it that we quit growing spiritually? Don't answer me out loud, but I want you to think it through for just a second. Why is it that I spiritually quit growing? And we'll pull that into a physical manner with that. Why would someone stop growing? Why would a child? And we have some folks that in our church that had a child a couple years ago and had a food issue. And regardless of what the child ate, there was no growth. The body would not absorb the nutrition, and the doctors had to go to very extensive steps because the child was dormant in growth. We see, and I'm praying, I want you to pray for Miss Mancini. Bless her heart. Listen, church, they're about to move her. Thank the Lord for that. I believe that she's going to be moved to the new center over in Hanover County. It just slipped my mind. Autumn Care. I believe they're going to move her over to Autumn Care. She sat in tears the other day and told me. She said, if I could just be on that side of town where every now and then somebody could get me and bring me to church. I talked to the nurses and the people that handle the folks in the home where she is now. She doesn't come out of her room. I can tell a difference in her weight. I can tell a difference in her strength. And eventually, that's going to hurt. She has memory issues. And the lack of the proper nutrition, the lack of consumption is going to play harder on trying to maintain what mental capacity she has, because there's going to be a ceasing of growth of healthy blood cells, of healthy brain cells. Why? She's refusing to eat. She refuses to come out of her room. She doesn't have movement. She doesn't have motion. All of those things which sustain life and cause growth. Back to the spiritual part of that. Those physical things can be put over into our spiritual life. When we do not spend time with God, we stop growing. When we do not read the Bible for our personal self, and I don't mean just throw your Bible open and point somewhere and say, I'm going to read these five verses. I'm going to tell you, if you're reading the Bible like that, you're not going to grow. You're going to be dormant. You're going to lose your joy. And you just want to endure life. You want to get up, do what you do, call it a day and back to sleep, and just endure day to day. But if we grow, our personal conversation with God, our prayer life, our Bible reading. What else gives us growth? Church attendance. People say, well, I don't need church. Yes, you do. You're lying to yourself. You hear the greatest preacher in the world. I'm just kidding. I am lying to you. Take me out totally out of the picture. Church brings you growth. You know why? Whether you like to admit it or not, we need each other. Because we're the only ones that are for each other. You walk out of these doors tonight and you head out and finish up your Christmas shopping, that world's not for you. They're for themselves. The world is lookout for number one. But there ought to be, when we come into the walls of this church, we're for each other. We're on the same team. I don't have to play the full game. I don't even have to start. I can be here and just support you. You can be here and just support me. Church attendance causes growth. You stop attending church, you know what you find out? You're going to stop growing. And it's just going to be a daily grind. That's all you're going to be interested in. Just endure the day. Well, I got Sunday out of the way. Well, I got Monday out of the way. But with the fellowship of God's people, the fellowship with God through His Word, the fellowship with God through prayer, the fellowship with God through our giving, the fellowship through music and singing. Boy, our choir did a tremendous job last week. Not that they did bad today, but they did a good job today. That song Veronica sang this morning. I don't request songs very often, but I asked Brother Young to see if he could get someone because that sort of paired up with the message of the morning. That blessed my heart. I was glad I was at church this morning. I'm not blessed by being in church to hear the speaker. I don't think much of him. But I want to tell you something, church. You do something for me. You push me to grow. Because see, the Bible tells me that I'm responsible for the church, being the pastor. And I know, and I have other preachers that will preach behind this platform, and they say this. They say this church is a great church to preach to. I had one preacher say, that church will drain you. I said, what do you mean it'll drain you? He said, they listen on your every word. You know what I know I can't do and help you grow? I know I can't spend 5 minutes rehearsing something. And I know I can't rip something out of the daily bread. And I can't come in here with a thought. Number one, you expect more than that. And sometimes you say, preacher, I wish you had less thoughts. That was your chance to say amen. But I know I have to feed you God's word, or else I become responsible for you not growing. Our endurance for life depends on our growth. And our enjoyment of life depends on our growth. So Jesus, the scripture said, we've been studying all month, for the joy that was set before him endured. So the two words pair together. You say, preacher, my life has been a battle. It's been a race. It's been this. I got to have endurance. Growth. And when we have the endurance through our growth, we get our joy back. And we're excited about getting up. Now be truthful, not with me, with yourself. You ever roll over on Sunday morning and you go, oh. Now don't lie to yourself. Because I did that this morning. And Sonia said, I said, I'm not going to go. I'm tired. I was at the hospital late, and I'm emotional. I'm this. I'm just not going to church. She said, you have to. I said, well, why do I have to? And she reminded me I was the preacher. So I said, okay. If we learn to endure, the joy is restored. And I finish with this. David said this in Psalm 51. Restore unto me the joy. David's joy was restored once he got back to growing. David's sin began when he stopped. Remember what the Bible said? It was the time that kings go out to battle. David wasn't in the right place. And when he wasn't in the right place, he lost his endurance. When he lost his endurance, he lost his joy. When he came back to where he should be, he got back his endurance, and God gave him joy. Let's be determined in our minds and our hearts not to just endure our days, but to enjoy the days that God gives us and to grow just as our pattern Jesus had. Pray with us, please. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that it is sweet to us, that it has principle to it, but it has strong application. And Lord, help us tonight to take the things that you have given us from your word today, Sunday school morning and tonight, and to find the application for me, for today in my life. And may every one of us say that. I need the application for me, that you would give me endurance and growth. have 100 mile. We have this. We have that. I'm like, good gracious. You know, there's a lot of stuff that they put him through, and Justin, same. Ye ought to be teachers, ye have need.